hearts and open minds to hear what you would have us hear today. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Good morning, everybody. Jesus said, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. That's how our Safe Church policy document starts here at Bedford Community Church. You should have a copy of the Safe Church policy and also a copy of our code of conduct in your bulletin. Our Safe Church policy starts with the words of Jesus. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. It's nothing less than God's highest will for his people, that they love him and they love each other. And the introduction to that Safe Church policy continues, and I want you to think about what we're saying here. Our love for God and love for each other necessarily means that we affirm that all people have the right to be emotionally and physically safe, respected, and have their views and opinions valued at all times. The church has the responsibility, therefore, to care for all its people. The Bible consistently expresses God's concern for the well-being of the vulnerable, including children. So we at Bedford Community Church take seriously our responsibility to ensure the safety of all people in our care, especially the vulnerable. We also live in a country that legislates for people's safety, particularly children. This policy has been developed to help us live out our biblical mandate and our responsibilities under Australian legislation. The Safe Church policy applies to all elders, staff members, and volunteer workers associated with the ministry in Bedford Community Church. Now, I know that policy documents and things like that are not the most exciting thing in the world. But isn't Christian love an exciting thing? I want to say this again. Our Safe Church policy and procedure documents are first and foremost part of our desire to obey God and his command that we love each other. You go into virtually any secular workplace in Australia and they will have safety policies and procedures and codes of conduct. Do we really want to send the message to the world that we care less about their safety than the pagans and tax collectors do? This is not a burdensome command to love others. It should be something that everybody here is okay with. In the words of the Apostle John, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So how does something like a Safe Church policy spell out what love should look like here at Bedford Community Church? Well, among other things, we're not going through it line by line. What that policy says is that we will do all that we can to make sure that our people, you and your children and everybody, we will do all we can to make sure that our people are safe, respected, and valued. We will make sure that our leaders are safe people and our programs are safe programs. And we will do everything that we can to minimize risk. Risk of abuse, misconduct, misuse of power, any other kind of unsafe behaviors or environment. And part of that commitment to love each other and keep our church safe is that all of our elders, all of our leaders, our staff, all of our volunteers in all the ministries in our church are going to need to agree to that code of conduct. Our purpose this morning is to introduce that code of conduct to you, the church. That's an interim code of conduct until we've actually written out our own, but once we do, it will be very similar to that one. That is a biblical Christian code of conduct. And once again, anyone involved in ministry at any level in our church is going to need to agree to that code. Having safe ministry standards, like a code of conduct, and keeping all of our volunteers and leaders accountable to it is part of what Christian biblical love looks like in our day and age. And that's especially true at the leadership level. Thinking of leadership, I always think of Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. What's the last thing he wants to say to this group who will be leading and caring for that church? Paul told them what Christian love looks like in leadership, and here are some things that he emphasized. He emphasized that leadership and authority in the church is not about status and privilege. Leadership in the church is not about having the power to get what you want at the expense of other people. For Paul himself, being a leader among God's people meant hard work and service and humility and tears. He stresses in Acts chapter 20, tears. For the elders in Ephesus, Paul said that leadership in the church would mean the same. He used himself as an example to them. Leadership means helping and caring for others, not benefiting yourself at their expense. Christian leadership is not about privilege or honor or power. It's about love and service and hardship. Paul said that his highest priority was proclaiming the gospel. And he said that these elders in Ephesus, their highest priority was going to be keeping God's people faithful to the gospel. He said, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God." Now that is the language of protecting people. An overseer is basically a guardian. And one of the key jobs of a shepherd or pastor was to protect the flock in his care. This is guardian protection language. "Savage wolves will come in among you," Paul says. "Even from your own number, people will arise and distort the truth." Now you can see there that Paul primarily has in mind the spiritual protection of God's people. The leaders in the church are charged with protecting us from false gospels and false teaching and keeping us true to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping us safe from pressures from the world to compromise our faith with their daily whims about what's right and wrong. The leaders in our church, their primary job is our spiritual safety, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't care about my physical and psychological safety, then I do not trust you for one second to care about my spiritual safety. If you don't love me enough to keep me safe from all kinds of harm, then you don't love me enough to be a Christian leader. As Jesus himself said, "Whoever is trustworthy in a little thing can be trusted in a bigger one. And whoever is untrustworthy in a smaller thing can't be trusted in a big one." But coming back to Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders, why did Paul view leadership in the church the way he did? Well, it's because he was following God's own example. Think about how Paul talks about God's love for his people, his love for you. Paul tells the Ephesian elders, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with the blood of his own." So how much does God love you? He made you his people at a cost. And that cost was the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. As Paul later said to the Romans, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus himself said, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our leaders and our volunteers here at Bedford Community Church need to lead the way and set the example of submitting to the lordship of Jesus and obeying his commands and imitating his love. And that is all the code of conduct is meant to do. All it does is keep us accountable for loving each other, just as Christ loved the church. Let me put it this way. Your brothers and sisters here are so precious to God that he paid the price of the blood of his own son for them. How much are they worth to you? A little extra paperwork? Or is that too high a price? And what kind of things are we agreeing to as we adopt this code of conduct in our church? It says radical things like we commit to serve each other out of a relationship with God. We commit to serve each other through healthy relationships with each other. And we commit to serve each other by expecting the best from our leaders. Now, I know that people aren't fans of having policies and codes and all this stuff, but if there's anyone here who can't agree to those kinds of principles, then in my view, a Christian church is not the place for you, to be honest. But those are principles. What about specifics? What are some specific behaviors that the code of conduct requires of us? Well, let me give you a few examples. It says that we are going to commit to learning Scripture, thanking God, and praying. It says that we will be loving and caring for our families. We'll be respecting each other. There will be good teamwork in our ministries. And we'll use our words to build people up, not to ridicule or to shame them. Now, to me, that just sounds like real Christian love in action. Nothing more or less. And what about our leaders? What does the code of conduct expect from our leaders? It expects things like accountability and integrity, acting in the best interests of the people that we serve, avoiding favoritism, being honest, no stealing, no lying, and no bullying. It expects that from our leaders there will be no abuse of other people of any kind. No emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, or spiritual abuse. It expects no violence and no drug and alcohol abuse. These are the kinds of things that we're asking all of our volunteers to agree to. Is that too much to ask from anybody, do you think? Most of this code of conduct is just restating biblical commands. That's all. And anyone that can't agree to these things doesn't have any business in Christian leadership. But if for some reason you just can't get over having the policies and procedures and the codes and all that kind of stuff, well then I invite you to think about it this way. Just think of it as a covenant of conduct rather than a code of conduct. Think of it as a covenant agreement. From now on at Bedford Community Church, we are entering into a covenant agreement with one another and with God. And in this solemn covenant before the Lord Jesus, we agree that we will serve each other out of a relationship with God. We will serve each other through healthy relationships with each other. and we'll serve each other by expecting the best from our leaders. Now, I know that at points this morning I have been a little bit blunt. I get passionate about safety in the church, and it's because I love safe behaviors and godly leadership. And that's only because I care about all of you, because I love all of you. And I also get passionate about this because, to our shame, Christian churches have not always been the communities of love they should be. Christian leadership has not always been the kind of loving service that it should be. Everyone knows that there has been terrible abuse of all kinds in Christian churches. The reality is that the world's institutions aren't any better, and people that think that that is a religion problem are naive. But is that good enough for us, that we're not worse than the world? The world isn't our standard. God is our standard. Jesus is our standard. We and our leaders should be light shining in the darkness. And that has not always been the case in Christian churches. And our church is no exception to that sad fact. Even the best of our leaders are still sinful, broken people in a broken world. When I reflect on my own years of ministry at this church and at other churches, I have not always lived up fully to standards like this code of conduct, standards which come from the Word of God for His people. And I've spoken with several brothers and sisters in our dear family here who have suffered hurtful and ungodly treatment from the leadership in our church at times. Now, if that's you and we haven't heard from you, we want to hear from you. We're on your side because you are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we love you. If anyone has been hurt in this church, we do want to hear from you if you want to share your story with us. There are people in our church that have in the past been hurt by ungodly treatment from leadership. And there are also leaders, past and present, in our church who have been hurt by other leaders or who have been hurt by non-leaders. My brothers and sisters, such things should not be done in the household of God. It is sin. And today we are acknowledging it as sin, and we are committing to a better way, the way of love, the way of Jesus Christ. And it is our leaders and volunteers who should lead that way by example in obeying and loving God, His Son, and His people. We're now going to hear from one of our elders on this topic, and we're going to hear from the one of our elders that isn't here this morning. We're going to hear from Graham Taylor by video.
Good morning. As you can see, I'm not at church today, but I am in a way. The good news is, with the video, all you have to do is press the button and I'm gone. The background of this is that Larry and I agreed that we would plan the presentation of the Code of Conduct together. In setting up our first meeting to plan that, I realised, guess what, I won't be in Perth. So we agreed that I would do a video, and I'm very keen and to say I absolutely, totally endorse this Code of Conduct. I love it because it's based on Jesus' response to the greatest commandment. When he was asked what's the greatest commandment, he said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this code just captures it beautifully. The reason me being on the screen is that there were some things that I did want to share, they really come from looking back on my leadership role in this church. So I have been in leadership roles for around about 48 years. The first, you know, 7-8 years of that were as a voluntary youth leader, and then 40 years in eldership. I had 3 stints at eldership with some small breaks in between. And when I consider the code of conduct and I look back on some of my experiences as an elder, observing things, there are things that come to mind, and there's people that come to mind where I feel I certainly did not capture loving the Lord, my God, with all my heart, and certainly loving my neighbour. And when I look at the code of conduct, the things that really stand out to me is treating others with respect, to teach and exercise authority respectfully, that's in part B, and then part C, communicate with integrity. Now, looking back, I can see there are times when I have not done that. I would love to have those times over again. And it is more than possible that there could be people in this very congregation today who actually experienced the worst of me in that state. As I say, I would love to be able to go back and do much better. And I want to recognise that there would be people who were hurt, and I want to confess that. I want to state that as that is sin, and I want to apologise for that. And if there are people in the congregation today who felt that I was not respectful, or I did not communicate with integrity, or there are actions that I took which hurt you, I come naming it as sin, and I come apologising to say that I'm sorry and to repent before the church, albeit in a video. I'd also like to say that reflecting on being involved in a number of elderships, so over 40 years, there's been people shifting in, shifting out, and I can identify things that were done, events that occurred, conversations that had, where I think not only myself personally, but corporately, there were things which occurred. There were ways that we treated people. There were ways that we handled our communication and our authority in a way in which there seemed to be very little accountability. And that's one of the things I love about the code of practice, is that it establishes an accountability. It sits within a code. It sits within our process of self-church, our program of safe church. And so I think there's a place, and that's part of what I wanted to say today, for not just for Graham Taylor to own things where I've hurt people, but to say on behalf of I don't have the permission of these people, but I'm making an observation to say, I think some of our actions have been hurtful in the past. And again, there may be people in this congregation, there may be people who have left this congregation because of behaviour which didn't match this code of conduct. And there is a sense in which I would like to say the same things I say about myself. Name it as sin. Apologize on behalf of leadership teams that I've been involved in over those years. And to repent of that before the church. And to welcome this code of conduct. So I've said the things I wanted to say. I would just like to pray a prayer of confession and repentance for myself and for things that I observe that happen amongst a wider group of us. Again, emphasizing, I have not asked people's permission to do that. I'm doing it on the basis of an observation that I've made. So I would like to pray. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, that word gracious just rolled off my tongue, and I really thank you that the whole kingdom of God is based on grace, on unmerited favour. And Lord, as sure as I am that I have sinned and hurt people at times in my leadership, I am as sure of the work of Christ and that I am your son and I have life through Christ. Lord God, I specifically come before this congregation today to confess where I have been thoughtless, where my speech or my actions have actually hurt people, and I want to confess that as sin. I want to apologize to you and apologize to the people and to repent before you and before the congregation with a desire to really honor and live this code of conduct under your strength and power. And Lord, I want to add to that, please, a confession, a sorrow for any other hurt that may have come from leadership teams that I've worked with. If you like, Lord, a corporate confession and repentance of hurt that may exist. And we pray that for those who have been hurt, that there may be healing and your hand and your would touch their hearts. And Lord, going forward to declare a desire that I and the current elders have to live by this code of conduct. So thank you for your graciousness, Lord. And I pray for wisdom going forward to honour this code of conduct. We ask these things and give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
In a video, and it takes a lot of courage to identify sin in others, as Graham reckons he has seen in leadership in this church over the years. Now, I've admitted this morning that I'm a sinner, and I've not always been as godly a leader as I could have been, and Graham has done the same, and the rest of the eldership of our church has agreed to come forward with me today and acknowledge our own sin and commit to godly leadership in this church. So gentlemen, if you're able to join me now, that would be great. I'd also like to invite other ministry leaders and volunteers in the church to stand just where you are and join us in this commitment if you are able and willing to do so. And we extend that invitation to all members of this church. Some of you are former leaders and some of you are future leaders. But all of us are the people of God in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters to each other, a people called to love the Lord our God and to love each other. So please, everyone that's able and willing to stand and make this commitment with us, please do so, and we'll pray together and express that commitment to God. Our great God and loving Father, you are the God of love, of self-sacrificial love. You are the King of the universe who nevertheless uses his unlimited authority only for the welfare of his people. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to lay down his life to make his people right with God. This Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the ultimate expression of love and leadership. We pray, Father, that your church all over the world will reflect your nature in how your people relate to each other, and especially in how Christian leaders conduct themselves. We pray this in particular for our church, Bedford Community Church. We acknowledge that not a single one among us has ever loved like you love, and that this is sin on our part, every one of us. The world says nobody's perfect and uses it as an excuse. We say all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and there is no excuse. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We confess corporately, the leadership here among this church, we confess that in our leadership, we have not always been the kind of godly shepherds that you have commanded us and rightly required us to be. And we confess that that is sin. We pray your forgiveness on everyone here, everyone in our church family. We pray your forgiveness on our church as a whole. And we ask you to fill this church and every one of its members and leaders with your mighty transforming spirit, who will work in us, who will shape our lives and our character, so that we more closely resemble your Son, your good Son, Jesus. And we pray this for his sake and for the sake of your kingdom, and for the sake of your glory. Amen.
Amen.